And wherever you are, I want you to take out your Bible and I want you to make this confession. I want you to hold your Bible up and say, "This is my Bible, and it is the Word of God. I am what it says I am." Come on now, we're going to do that again. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Amen and amen. May that be true in your life. Be what the Word says. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word this morning. We are so grateful that we are able to come under the ministry of the Word. We are able to sit, to partake of the table of what you've prepared for us this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd minister to us. Our hearts are able to receive what God has prepared for each one of us this morning. We thank you for every child of God who is sitting under the ministry of this word. May your word find them where they are today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go straight into the word. I would like to set the scene for today's teaching. I would like to set the scene for today's teaching by looking at two scriptures, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." It's by grace, and the vehicle is through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Nobody can say, "I deserved it." Nobody can say, "It's because I was a good guy, that's why I was saved." No, it's not by works. It's by grace through faith. You need grace. You need faith to become a child of God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." What a statement. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It doesn't say, if you don't go to church, you cannot please God. It's without faith. It's very specific. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. He's a rewarder. So when you come to God, you need to believe that he is. You need to believe that he exists. And thereafter, you're able to please him. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, from the scriptures we have read, there's an amazing picture which you and I would do well to pay attention to. Okay? You'd do well if you pay attention to it. Now, what are we observing here? What is this picture that we are looking at? The picture is this. Firstly, it is impossible to be a child of God without faith. Because the Bible says you are saved by grace through faith. So if you are to be a child of God, you need faith. I want you to take note of that. Very, very important for where we are going. So take faith out of the picture. It's impossible to become a child of God. Secondly, it is impossible to please God without faith. In other words, in the absence of faith, you cannot have a relationship with God. In the absence of faith, you cannot have a relationship with God, because the Hebrew writer says it's impossible to please God without faith. So, what are we saying this morning? It takes faith to become a child of God, and it takes faith to maintain the relationship. So at the center of what we do as believers is this thing called faith. I want you to realize that faith is the vehicle through which we attain things in the kingdom of God. You need to understand that faith is almost like your currency in the kingdom of God. Just like if you don't have rand, if you don't have money, you cannot acquire product. All right? I'm going somewhere. So you need faith to believe that God exists and that he has good intentions for you. When storms of life come your way, if the storms of life find your faith shaky, you will not survive the storm. So in other words, when you have faith, you can go through storms and you survive the storms. So faith is very, very important. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. The Bible says, because you have so little faith. Now look here, what happens without faith or with little faith? This was after Jesus had cast out a demon from a little boy. This demon would throw the boy into fire, into water, and try to kill the boy. The disciples were not able to deliver this young boy, and Jesus was called upon and he ministered healing. The disciples then questioned Jesus, why were we not able to minister the same way you ministered? And the answer was this, because you have so little faith. Because you have so little faith, he answered. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Take note, nothing will be impossible for you. Now, when you are a person of faith, you step into a category that is special. You step into a category that, you know, people are saying, you can do anything. Why? Because you are a person of faith. Now, the dimension that Jesus brings here is this. It is not every form of belief that brings results. Many people believe, but the basis of their belief is wrong. And therefore, they cannot get the results they want. You need to have genuine faith. And my question to the church this morning is your faith genuine? How genuine is your faith? Is what you have really, really faith? Do you know how you know whether you've got genuine faith? When life hasn't gone the way you want it, do you still worship God? Are you able to still say, your goodness runs after me? Are you able to say, it doesn't matter what happens to me, I will not forsake the Lord? Come on now. Now put this down. Without genuine faith, everything is impossible. Take note, I'm talking about genuine faith. Without genuine faith, everything is impossible, but with faith, nothing is impossible. When you have real faith, something happens. When you have genuine faith, you are able to command. Jesus says, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou moved, and the mountain will move. I've got mountains in my life, but sometimes they seem not to move. So Jesus calls this faith a mustard seed type of faith. He then says, even when you have a little bit of it, as long as you have the real deal, it will give you results. It's not about the size. It's about the quality. Now, when you have the real deal, you will get results out of it. My big question this morning is this. How does one access genuine faith in their lives? How does one access genuine faith in your life? How do you do that? This is a profound question that you and I need to be able to answer, because believers are at a point where they're about to give up in their walk with God because there are no results coming. That's a real issue. How does one get genuine faith? Now go with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. If you've been around the block for long enough, you know that scripture. You know what Paul was teaching the church at Rome. He says here, so then faith comes. So faith comes. You can obtain faith. I can attain to this type of faith that gives us results. So then faith comes by hearing. So saints, what you hear matters. Garbage in, garbage out. Quality in, quality out. What you hear matters. What you pay attention to matters. These days, a lot of believers were fixated about the bad, the ugly, and the worst of things. And guess what? It's created a toxic environment inside of us. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not just any hearing. It's hearing by the word of God. Amen. I want you to realize this morning, the quality of the word that you hear also determines the quality of your faith. More and more you find that people are running after the quick fix type of gospel. The gospel that says to you, claim it, frame it, you will have it tomorrow. The prophet comes and tells you, I see a business in your life, and tomorrow you're going to get into a big contract. Tomorrow comes, you don't get that contract. We are being taught a gospel that is not in line with the gospel of Jesus. And because of that, our faith is not genuine. More and more people don't want to be told that John chapter 16 verse 33 is part of the canon. In this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. It's a scripture that Jesus left the disciples just before he went to heaven. We ought to pay attention to some of the last words of Jesus. Jesus would say, if they did this to a tree, to the master, how much more to his servants? I'm talking about a faith that will enable you to stand on the day of adversity. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, having done all, stand. Come on now. And the Bible says, after you've been tested, stand your ground so that you can receive that which was promised. That is the gospel. Tell me about the type of faith that you have. The Bible doesn't promise that everybody is going to be rich. No. The Lord Jesus himself, on the day where Mary had broken the alabaster box, and Judas said, no, we should have sold that and give the money and buy stuff for the poor. And Jesus says, hey, listen, you always have the poor with you. It happens. So what type of gospel have you gotten to believe? So how does one get this faith? And Paul gives us the answer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And hearing by the word of God. So thirdly, in order to operate in this faith, you need to start by getting into the word. You see, many of us hear the word, but very few of us get to the point of generating the faith from the word. You see, it's not just about hearing the word that brings about the mustard seed type of faith. It's not through physical hearing. It is through hearing by the ears of the Spirit. Jesus would always say, let those of ears hear what the Spirit says. Okay? Now put this down. The ability to hear the word through your spiritual ears produces the mustard seed type of faith. I want you to take note this morning. I'm talking about spiritual ears. Because right now, a lot of you are hearing me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But are you hearing through the Spirit? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So there is a first hearing through your physical ears, but there is a second hearing through your spiritual ears that comes through revelation. Now, excuse me, all of that was meant to be an introduction. It was meant to be an introduction to our teaching this morning. Now, by the grace of God, I want to equip you on the subject matter, how to get into the word and the word into you. Come on now. I want to talk about how do you get into the word, and then after that, how do you get the word into you? It's a two-pronged process. The first stage is for you to get into the word. And without you getting into the word cannot get into you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can preach a powerful word, but there might be somebody who comes out of there with nothing, and their lives remain the same. Okay? Now, I want you to realize this morning, when you only get into the word, you see, you listen to the word, you read the word. When you only get into the word, what happens is you develop a big head. What do I mean by that? You develop lots of knowledge, lots of head knowledge. But the desire of God is not for us to have big heads. But when you allow the word to get into you, you develop a big heart. Come on now. Big head, big hearts. What do you want? A lot of believers have got big heads, but little hearts. Now somebody says, do not underestimate the distance between the head and the heart. There is a process you need to go through to move the knowledge you have from the head, which is mechanical, to the heart that is transformational knowledge. That is why we are saying, let's talk about getting into the word and the word getting into us. So when the word gets into you, you develop a big heart full of transforming revelation. You see, getting into the word stimulates your brains, stimulates your intellect. Okay? When you get into the word, when you read the word, when you study the word, stimulates. But when the word gets into you, it stimulates your heart. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Many people know the good things in their brains, in their minds, but they have not been able to have it in their spirit man that enables them to act out. From the fullness of your heart, the mouth speaks. From the fullness of your revelation, you act out. I want you to know that when trouble comes in your life, it exposes your theology. It exposes your understanding of the word. Wow. You've got to retain the word. How many times have you read the scriptures and then in a minute, 5 minutes, an hour after, you have forgotten? That word will not change you. John 15, verse 7. The Bible says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. How much of word have you retained? If you are not careful, the only word you are containing now is what you were taught just after you got born again. If you are not careful, the only word you are carrying right now is the scriptures that you memorized when you were in Sunday school. How much addition has happened in your spiritual life, in your word knowledge, in your word content? Now he says here, and my words remain in you. Something starts happening. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Not because of you, but because you have retained the material that gives you what you want. Nothing was made which was not made by the word in John chapter 1. Now here the Lord is saying, if you keep my word, the word is the material, the raw material you need in order to produce the future you want. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. So the more word I carry around, the more fruit I can produce. Come on now. The more word I retain in my heart, in my spirit, man, the more fruit I can produce. It's not head knowledge. The Pharisees had head knowledge. The Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the church, they had head knowledge. They lacked revelation knowledge. That is why they could not see and identify the Messiah. That's the key issue. So the question is, how do we get into the Word, and how do we get the Word into us in order to develop that mustard seed type of faith? Number one, you ought to prioritize the Word of God in your life. Seek to prioritize the Word. Again, I hear somebody saying, Pastor, that is fundamentals. Pastor, that is basics. Excuse me, allow me to just labor on basics. Because in the absence of basics, we cannot build. In the absence of foundations, I can give you as much revelation as you want. In the absence of you prioritizing the word, no amount of revelation will change your life. And so before you shut me out, I want to appeal to you, be like a child, and ask yourself a genuine question. Do I prioritize the word? There's nothing more I can say except to say to you, prioritize the word. Let the word be of such priority in your life that you don't want to go without it in a day. Put this down. We do not have a scarcity of time, but we have an abundance of misaligned values. Ooh. I'm not sure where that came from, but I'm sure it was the Holy Ghost that came on me. We do not have a scarcity of time, but we have an abundance of misaligned values. What do I mean by that? You've got time for everything. You've got time for Netflix. You've got time for Easy Dingo. You've got time for Generations. You've got time for Studio 263. You've got time for all of that, but you've got no time for the Word. How do I know that I don't have time for the Word? Is the amount of time I spend on the Word. That is why I'm saying we've got an abundance of misaligned values. We've got time for friends. We can have a braai right through the day. That's okay. But when it comes to the word, I've got no time for that. Brother, that is why things are not working out in your life. I'm sounding a bit brutish there, but we have to do that. We have to get to that point and really calling it what it is. It's an abundance of misaligned values. You know you are a married guy, but you still want to spend time with boys more than you spend time with your wife. Misaligned values. You know you are a student. You still want to spend too much time in front of that black box instead of preparing for exams. Misaligned values. You know that you are dating, you are in love with this girl. You are passionate about her, but you still want to be with her till 12 midnight. Misaligned values. The Bible says flee from youthful lust. I don't know why I'm saying that. But I'm saying today, it's not a scarcity of time. It's an issue of misaligned values. When the word of God is of priority to you, you will make time for it. Some of you answered and said, Pastor, I am prioritizing the word. Look at this. John 6, verse 67. After Jesus had preached a very difficult message about him asking the people to drink his blood and eating his flesh, says, anyone who doesn't eat my flesh, anyone who doesn't drink my blood has got no life. And people are like, no, man, Sangoma, something is wrong here. But this guy, we thought he was the Messiah, but something is wrong with him. And they started running away from Jesus. And then he said to the 12, do you want to leave as well? Funubalek, do you want to run away from me as well? Gijima, no. Now Peter says, Lord, to whom do we go? Woo! When you prioritize the word, there is no other option. No option B, no option C, no option D. The word is the word. You'll be found where the word is. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. Lord, to whom do we go? You have the words of life. You have the words of eternal life. Peter got something right. He said, it doesn't matter how difficult the word is, but I'll stick around because you have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. That's what we need, saints. Seek to prioritize the word of God. How does a believer go a whole week without opening his Bible? Can somebody help me to understand this? How does a believer go 3 days without opening his word, without opening the Bible to seek what's on the heart of God for them? Or maybe let me say, how do you go for 7 days without eating? You're just there like, I don't feel like eating, man. It's so difficult to eat. I don't feel like eating. And your wife comes like, honey, when are you going to eat? Like, no, I just don't feel like eating. And the guy's got white lips already. He's so hungry. He's tired. Like, honey, when are you going to eat? I'm just too tired to eat, you know. Just want to sleep a little bit more. That's what we do in the spirit. And the Holy Ghost is saying, I want to talk to you. Give me a chance to speak to you. Come on now. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Priorities, priorities, priorities. How do you know that you are committed to the word? You see, you have to be committed to the word. It takes personal commitment to the word. So when you prioritize something, number one, you are committed to it. When you prioritize something, you are committed to it. When you prioritize work, you are committed to it. You will not just tell your boss, I don't feel like coming to work today. You prioritize work. You are committed to it. I was talking to somebody, and he reminded me of this analogy about commitment. The egg and the bacon. Which one is committed here? You see, the egg, the hen can just lay as many eggs. It does not have to give its life. It's not really committed. But the pig, for you to get the bacon, the pig has to kick the bucket. The pig has to die. That is commitment. Bacon or egg? That's the question. Bacon or egg, where are you concerning commitment, my friend? If it's an egg, you are not there. You can afford to give as many eggs as you want. But if it's a bacon type of commitment, then you are committed to it. It's life and death situation. How committed are you? Number two, to prioritize the word, it means you establish a routine and a schedule for it. Again, basics, please forgive me. Kindergarten. But I want you to know, PhD people don't do this. People with degrees that go beyond the thermometer are not establishing a schedule for the word. They don't have a routine for the word. They've got a routine for everything else. If you go into their diaries, they can tell you, I've got a meeting there, meeting there, meeting there, meeting there. The word does not appear. Please be honest with me. In your spirit, go to your diary and see if there's a slot there for reading the word, for studying the Bible. Just be honest with yourself. So when you prioritize something, you establish a routine and a schedule for it. You become faithful to the routine, faithful to the schedule. Do you know that if you read just 5 verses every day, you'll be a different guy by the end of the month? Just 5 verses. You read, you meditate, you read, you meditate over 5 every single day. By the time the month end comes, you are big in the spirit. Many people don't have a schedule. And I'm saying to you this morning, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, I implore you, I encourage you, have a schedule to read the word. I wish I could have deeper revelation than that. But if you can have a revelation on a schedule, you will have the revelation you need from somebody else. You will get it. You will acquire it by yourself. Does somebody hear me this morning? If it hurts, say, Aina. You're like, yo, Mruti, that's Aina. I don't have a schedule, but I'm going to have a schedule. Hallelujah. Thank you for repenting. Number 3, how do you know you prioritize something? You are willing to invest in it. Now, if you are a family of 4, the H family, if the H family goes to, I don't want to say KFC, if they go to Centurion Lake Hotel, if the H family goes for lunch, it will probably cost them nothing less than 1.5. 1,500 for lunch. Do you know what you can buy for 1,500 in terms of investing in your Bible study? Do you know the amount of material you can get by just missing a McDonald's? Come on now. If you prioritize the word, you are willing to invest in it. And I want to challenge every goer. Every goer ought to have a decent study Bible. Every goer can afford a decent study Bible. That gives you references, concordance, that gives you thematic studies of the Bible. Says you have to invest in this thing. If you prioritize your marriage, you invest in it. You buy the undergarments for your wife. Whatever it is. Do something. Invest in your marriage. Come on now. Don't tell me you love that girl and you do jack. You look at the hair of the girl and you're like, is she married? The Bible says, don't you know that the hair of the woman is the glory of the woman? Do something. Invest in that woman. Invest in that man. Buy him the toys that he wants. Buy him the bike or buy him the caravan. Buy him whatever he wants. Invest. You thought I was going to stop there. Come on now. He's been talking about this car for a long time. And you know by this time you can afford it. Just release the boy. Let him buy the toy. John, you hear what I'm saying? We have to. So you invest in what you prioritize. That is the message. Don't lose the message in these jokes. The message here is this. If you prioritize the word of God, invest in it. Invest in it. I've got a Bible here. This is a study Bible. It's for teachers of the word. So I had to go get, well, a friend bought it for me. I'll be honest. A friend bought it for me. But an expensive Bible is the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible. This Bible is packed with study notes, backgrounds. It tells you why the book of Malachi was written and to who was it written. I'll touch on those things next week. But this Bible costs about $700. Now, if you prioritize it, you got to do something. You've got to invest in it. You see, one of my hobbies is cycling. And to be honest with you, there's pressure on the road. You think there's pressure when you're driving your vehicle, get on a bike with the boys. There is pressure. And what do I mean by that? Boys would ride bikes that are valued at 80,000 rand, 100,000 rand. That's a vehicle. But you know what people do? They save up for their hobbies. They'll tell you at the end of the year, I want to buy a new bike. And how much is it, buddy? I'm not comfortable to share with you the price because you drop dead if I tell you. We invest in what is precious to us. And I'm saying to you today, invest in the word. Do something about it, saints. Number two, we are talking about how to get into the word and how to get the word into you. Number two, develop the habit of hearing the word. Now, well done, you have bought the audio Bible. Well done, Hiron. You bought the audio Bible. But don't just stop by just investing. You've got to act on it. You've got to actually do the work. It's not the word that is sitting there that changes you. It is the word that you get into. Develop the habit of hearing the word. And in our day, in our contemporary environment, nobody has an excuse for not listening to the word. No matter how poor you are, nobody has got a reason not to listen to the word. I mean, you go onto Facebook, there are plenty of preachers, left, right, center, Harry, Peter, John, Tabang, everybody is preaching on Facebook. You go onto YouTube, everybody is posting the how-tos from scriptures. And I'm saying to us this morning, we've got no reason not to get into the word. If you are too busy and you drive to work, put on something on the radio and listen. Do what I call basking in the word. Just listen to the word. That word is getting into your system. Subconsciously, something is recording there. And I'm saying, hear the word. Remember Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Saints, how much word are we hearing? How much word are we hearing? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible tells us, I'm going to rush here because of time. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly. Not just starting. If I ask you today, what was one of your New Year's resolution? Some of you resolved that in 2021, I'm going to be reading a chapter every day. Every day, I'm going to read a chapter in the Bible. What happened now? Dololo, nothing. I'm talking about being steadfast. I'm talking about continuing. You see, some believers are 15 years in the Lord, but in terms of their experience in walking with God, it's 2 years. Can I repeat that? My brother, you've been in the Lord for 23 years, and you keep on telling us, I got born again way back in 2001, I got born again in 1995. That is fine, but what can I see in your life? Can I see 27 years of experience with the Lord, or it's only 1 year? There are some people who've been in the Lord for 2 years, but in terms of experience, they've gone a long journey with the Lord. in those 2 years. Let's not get puffed up by the number of years we've been in the Lord. Let's be real with our experiences with the Lord. That is why we've got to come to a place when you say, it's not enough. I refuse to settle for less. I want to go deeper with the Lord. Be like Moses, who refused just to leave it on the surface. He said, show me your glory. Show me your ways. Teach me your precepts, Lord. And in the Bible we hear, the Lord showed his ways to the children of Israel, but he taught Moses his acts. So I want you to understand this. Let me restate that. For Moses, the Lord showed him his ways. But for the children of Israel, he showed him his acts. So there's a difference here where the Lord is going deeper with Moses concerning the ways, but for the children of Israel, they were interested in manna, in water, cucumber, tomato. And that is what the Lord showed them. Acts. I don't want to just see acts. I want to know him. I want to know his ways. Oh. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. You've got to continue. You've got to be steadfast. I'm not going to read the rest, but the point here is this. Be in the habit of hearing the word. Look for teachers that minister to you. I'm not that pastor who says to you, you can only listen to me. No. Go look for teachers that teach sound doctrine. Feed on them. The more you hear the word, the more you can see God working in your life. I've got teachers I enjoy listening to, you know. And from time to time, I just zero in. There were seasons where I would zero in on Pastor Stephen Furtick. And there are seasons where I would zero in on Bishop T.D. Jakes. There are seasons I would zero in on Rick Warren. There are seasons I would zero in on different teachers, depending on where I'm at. And I want to encourage you today, saints, go into the word. Listen to scriptures. Amen. Number three, the third aspect. Get into the habit of reading and studying the word. Okay, again, like our pastor, I thought you were going to bring a big revelation there. It is big. It's massive. Unless you read the word, you cannot get into the word. I want you to realize this morning, saints, you've got to graduate from just reading to studying. You see, there is a time for milk. There's a time for bread. But there's also time for meat. Man, if you are to grow in the Lord, you've got to go through these steps. You cannot just go for milk all the time, the fundamentals. You see, getting into the word goes beyond reading, but also involves studying it. Your reading of the word should prompt you into studying the word. So this is what I do. I mull over the word. I listen to the word. I read through. And then I say, I need to study this. I zero into it. I go deeper into it. I peel the layers. And next week, I'm going to take you through the process of doing an effective Bible study. Again, Pastor, we need revelation. Sorry, I don't have further revelation. I need to teach you how to do an effective Bible study. So that when you are by yourself, you are able to get the revelation. Don't depend on me. Depend on the Holy Ghost. When you do your own Bible study, He will speak to you. When you come to church, this is pep talk. It's not the real deal. It's like halftime encouragement. You know, like what happened yesterday with the box when they were playing against the British and Irish Lion. Halftime, I'm sure, they just ramped up these guys and told them, guys, remember that hullabaloo that was going on last week. You've got to go out there and win this game. And I'm sure Sia and the boys like, hey, we have to put foot down. And they were a different team. And this is what happens, and this is what I'm doing to you today, is pep talk to motivate you, to inspire you to go deeper for yourself. Now, You've got to study the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent. This is Paul talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to open the pages. Studying is not for, can I use this word, for sissies, for people who are scared. You have to get into it. It will cost you. Put this down. Everyone can read the word, but not everyone has a heart to study the word. Why? It takes effort. We are okay with burning the midnight oil for the bosses at work, who pays you only enough to get you to the 25th of the month. But we are not prepared to burn the midnight oil for the one who gives us all that we need in our lives. Can I say it again? You burn the midnight oil for boss. How about burning the midnight oil for Jehovah boss? The one who has our lives in his hands. How about saying, I'm going to spend more time going deeper and deeper into the word until I am transformed. You see, when you study something, you deeply invest your time, your intention, your attention, your energy, everything that it requires you, you invest in it. But a lot of believers are ill-disciplined. Can I say that today? Believers are ill-disciplined. And yet they are highly disciplined workers. How is that possible? It tells you this is a spiritual issue. It tells you there is an enemy on the loose who wants you to be fully committed to your day job, but you are not able to follow through a study of the book of James. Come on now. When you are studying, I'm studying for an exam that I'm writing on Wednesday. And I realized I was shallow on certain knowledge and I had to go deeper. When you realize that you don't understand the whole issue of Father the Son, Father the Holy Spirit, Father God, what do you do? When you don't understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you say, this is so confusing. The easy thing is to leave it. And you say, you know what? It's for pastors to understand. Or you think it's for pastors to understand. One day, a Hindu guy, a Muslim will come and ask you, please explain to me, what does it mean three in one? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you know that is one of the reasons why we don't evangelize? We don't know how to defend our faith. We don't know how to defend our faith. We are so shallow in our belief that I cannot encounter a Muslim and be able to show him that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through the Son. Allah is not the same as God of heaven. Are you able to converse at that level? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Put this down. The main objective for studying the Bible is to obtain deeper insight into the person of Jesus. You see, the more I understand my wife, the more intimate we can become. I want to say that again. The more I understand, and now we are going 15 years, 16 years. 15, thanks. We're going 15 years married, and the understanding is getting deeper and deeper. And because I've been studying her, I can look at her face and I know she's not okay. I must give her space. And the intimate levels are going deeper and deeper, and the quality is getting better and better. Why? Because I've studied her. She has done the same on me. When you study the word, when you study Jesus, you get a clearer revelation of Jesus. And the intimacy levels go deeper. And the more intimate you are, the more you can conceive the things of heaven. I'm going to leave it there today. Let's drop the mic. Let's leave it there today. And what are we saying today? Get into the Word and let the Word get into you so that you can develop genuine faith. This is the story of believers, saints. Next week, we're going to go deeper a little bit on how to do an effective Bible study. I believe in the priesthood of believers, where every believer has got access to the Word and should be able to get what the Word says they can get. Don't depend on me. I can support you, but you are the forerunner in your issues. Oh, yes, I want you to pray for yourself. If you can put the words of this song on the screen, it's got powerful words. Oh, la rebo sandre bo shikara bo sondre bo setara bahande bo. Before the earth knew its foundation. Just read the words if you don't know the song. If you can't sing along.